Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. We're recording. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Every week, we have a different sport that we promote. And today, we've got a great show because we're going to promote two sports. We're going to promote basketball and football, and we're going to promote East Jefferson High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. East Jeff, as they call it, and the head basketball coach, who's a great guy, Marcel Fisher from Syracuse, New York. Coach, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Man, I'm excited. I talked to you. You looked me up about a week ago, and we're going to talk about your son later in the show, too, that plays football for East Jeff, who's a very good football prospect. But I was pumped up because you were calling me about information on recruiting for your son, and then you told me, hey, man, I'm the head basketball coach, too, at East Jeff. I said, well, man, let's get you on a podcast. And you said, man, that's a good idea. So,
yep.
Here we are, Coach. I wanted to get into the show and talk about you and your background. You sent me a long resume, man. You're from Syracuse, New York, as you mentioned, and you started coaching Baltimore City. Junior College, Elizabeth City State was an assistant. Birmingham University was an assistant college. Bethune-Cookman, you were an assistant coach there for college basketball. Hillsborough Community College, Junior College. Sagia, if I don't butcher that, Community College, head coach. And 14 years experience as a college basketball coach. In high school, J.S. Clark High School head coach. In New Orleans, Louisiana, 3 playoffs, 2 district championships, coach of the year, player of the year that year. You had 6 all-district kids in your 3 years, top 20 rankings 3 years. Hanville, assistant coach, took school to playoff berth in first year, 7 years record for school, 3rd place, 31 state rankings in class 5A. Lake Area Tech, Kip Douglas High School. Man, Coach, this is a long resume. Cohen College High School Prep in New Orleans. And East Jefferson, where you're currently the head basketball coach. You went to the playoffs this year, went 18-10, played 1 out-of-state team, 4-2 in district, 3 all-district players. We're going to talk about some of your guys. Top 25 ranking in Class 5A with the big boys in 5A. But, Coach, we're glad to have you in Louisiana after that long journey, man. What all those schools that you were at in college, what was the college experience like for you coming out of when you were finished playing?
It was just a great experience, to be honest with you. I kind of stumbled into coaching at the college level. At the time when I originally got out of college, I had worked for a not-for-profit organization in Syracuse, New York, which was geared to helping kids to get in college. So even before I got in depth into coaching, I've always been an advocate of youth and helping young people figure out what they want to do in life and helping them find direction. So I had a job for a not-for-profit organization, and since I got out of college, was still in good shape and still playing. And, you know, of course, when you're still close in age to kids, high school kids, they want to play against you or play basketball. And I kind of started a little team and things like that, and there was a kid on that team that was really, really good, and I helped him get into college, and from there, my drive and passion into coaching at the college level or coaching period kind of started from there.
What brought you to Louisiana, Coach, all the way from – you were in Maryland for a few years coaching when you started out, but what made you come all the way to New Orleans, Louisiana? How did that happen?
To be honest with you, I was recruited by a charter school organization down here called First Line Schools.
Okay.
I received a nominous email, and I applied for a position. And once I applied for the position, the director at that time, a gentleman by the name of Reginald Coleman, contacted me. He was like, hey, you know, we're starting a brand new school down here. We're going to take over a building, and we want to turn it around, and we're looking for innovative and aggressive educators to come here and take part of the challenge. So when I came down originally, I was just supposed to be really just the dean of students.
Okay.
And once they saw my background in coaching a little bit, they asked me, hey, would you be interested in taking over the program? And I really don't think they really saw any relevance in it. They just was looking for somebody to fill different holes in the building to do things. And I kind of took it and kind of ran with it.
They got a bonus here. You got him a basketball coach.
Yeah, they kind of got a bonus from it or whatever. And the unique thing about Clark, which is why I always will stay near and dear to my heart, is we brought a freshman class in. So we just started off with just a ninth grade class.
Yeah.
And then each year we added more students. So that time when I was there to be able to win with that group of kids was like one of the first time I was able to stay with one set of group of kids and just go through the ranks with them. And so we kind of all grew together to put the kids, the community, and as well as Joseph S. Clark had a rich tradition in the city as being one of the first all-black high schools and things like that. So just the tradition with that and winning, it was just kind of a really great feeling for me to be a part of that and to build that. And on top of that, I built it from the ground up.
Yeah.
So just the appreciation and respect, the affirmation I got from my other coach and brothers in the city, just kind of took off from there.
Coach, we're going to take a break and we'll come back and more. I'm going to talk about your players, the basketball players at East Jeff. You've got some good basketball players that are seniors.
Yes, sir.
And also talk about your son, Ahmad Fisher, who's 6'4", almost 6'5", plays football at East Jeff. Talk about the football team. I want to promote those football kids, too. I know you'll love that at East Jeff. And talk about Jim Boeheim, man. I watched – by the time this show is played, this game will be 3 days old, but they beat the you-know-what out of San Diego State.
Yes, they did.
And I was shocked. I mean, I've never seen Boeheim win a game like that. I've always seen him lose a lot of these games. But I wanted to get your thoughts on Jim Boeheim and Syracuse, where they can go in the – and we'll talk some bracket stuff at the end. I know this will be fun. You're a basketball guy, and I like basketball. So I've got my four Final Four winners, and I wanted to get your four before we go get off the show. If you could tell me what four you think will make it, that'll give you some time to think. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of our coach, who's our guest, our head basketball coach, Marcel Fisher from East Jefferson High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest today is Marcel Fisher, the head basketball coach at Class 5A East Jefferson High School. Man, the history of East Jefferson High School. Mike Molly went to East Jefferson High School, the famous quarterback baseball player that tragically died too young, was one of the great baseball players to ever come out of the New Orleans area, was an incredible, incredible baseball player. East Jefferson's, we'll talk more about some of the people that have come out of East Jefferson, a lot of great people that have come and graduated from that school over the years. Coach, before we get into your team, talk about some of your players, what do you think of being that you're from Syracuse? Are you an Orangemen fan?
Yes, diehard Orangemen friend. Grew up with Syracuse basketball, of course, in the 80s and the 90s when Big East basketball was king of college basketball, and you had such great rivalries with Syracuse and Georgetown or Villanova or St. John's. Just great rivalries. And I think also moving down here, it really made me become more of have a love affair with Syracuse basketball, because I didn't realize that, you know, a lot of former Georgetown players were from the state of Louisiana.
Right.
Yeah. So I didn't know that, that a lot of guys from down here, Perry McDonald and people like that, were from the area, played for Coach John Thompson. And, you know, so it was great, you know, finding out those stories and hearing those stories from the basketball community down there.
Well, unfortunately for Coach Boeheim, they had Patrick Ewing and Dikembe Mutombo, Alonzo Mourning, Othello Harrington. You know, those guys were dominant during those times. They don't remember those New Orleans guys because of the Mutombos and, the Patrick Ewings and, you know, Alonzo Mourning. And Othello Harrington was from Jackson, Mississippi. You remember he went to Murrah High School, I believe, in Jackson. But the late Coach John Thompson, man, he could recruit anywhere and everywhere. I think originally Pat Ewan was from the Bahamas, but Mutombo was from somewhere overseas. I mean, he would get players from everywhere, and they just had Syracuse's number. And then, like you said, I mean, that was a tough time. Even Providence was good back then. You know, Seton Hall was real good back then.
Yeah.
But to get to back to your basketball team, you've got some good players, Coach, and I want to help you with your guys because you gave me a bunch of stuff on your kids, and you've got a senior, Malik Reese, 5'11", point guard that averaged 18 points a game.
Yeah.
Talk about Malik Reese and what he can do and what's going on with his recruiting right now.
Malik Reese is a 3-year starter. He was my starting point guard this year for me, 1,000-point score for the program even before I got here. Was just a tough-as-nails point guard and competitor. Just the type of kid that you want on your team when you're going into battle, when you're playing the heavy hitters in the state, such as the St. Aug or a Bonneville or a Carver or McMahon. When you're playing those type of teams, you want a kid like Malik on your team because he's just the type of kid that's going to go to war with you. And he leads by example when he competes in those type of games. Right now, he has a lot of top junior college recruitment. A lot of junior colleges are from the Jayhawk League are recruiting him at this point in time. So we hoping to get those things narrowed down and help him make a decision by the end of this month. And hopefully he can sign next month and then prepare for his future and get in the weight room and get in the gym and to get better and for me to help prepare him for college.
Coach, another kid intriguing, and I didn't get to see these guys play. I wish I have seen them. And because of COVID, I haven't been going as to many games, and I know that it's getting better. I'm happy we got the NCAA tournament. But
right.
Your senior post guy, Chris Flipping, 6'9", 230 yeah. pounds, 6'9". You don't see a lot of 6'9s playing now in Louisiana. 16 points a game, almost 17 points a game, 9 rebounds a game, 1 block a game, first team all-state, all-metro. What do you think of Chris Flipping and what's going on with him? I mean, that 6'9", just to me, is right off the bat intriguing.
Yeah, I think Chris, his best basketball is ahead of him. Like, first of all, he started off, I got the job in May. As soon as I got the job in May, I introduced myself to the kids, had a brief meeting, and we went to work and started in the weight room and on the track all summer long, even during the pandemic. And Chris was probably 270 pounds,
whoa,
maybe close. Right. So I think, besides before I get into the year that he had, just what he had to do to get to that point, to me, is an accomplishment for him and also the type of kid that he has and the character that he has because he's only been playing basketball for 2 years. Mm. So for 2 years, he was, you know, 3 years, he was walking around at EJ. He finally decides to come out and play basketball. He played a little bit last year, starting the second end of the year. Really, he was really, really behind the eight ball. So the biggest thing that I wanted him to do was to get his body in shape because I wanted to play fast. I wanted to get up and down the floor. And even though I had a 6'9 kid, I still wanted to utilize him in what we do offensively and defensively. So the kid lost 40 pounds pretty much during the summer. And then as well as once we was able to get in the gym and train and things like that, like he really, really worked hard and focused on his craft. And I also think by him playing a little bit of AAU basketball he did this past summer was just astronomical in him taking the next step and leaps and bounds. So I think his best basketball is ahead of him. I think he has a chance to be a Division I player. Right now, he has a ton of junior colleges recruiting him right now. So actually today, he's playing in the state all-star game. He's on the East team.
Okay.
That game will begin at 3 p.m. And I'm hoping and looking for him to have a good time in that situation, a good job. But Chris just did an outstanding job for us. And I think the reason why I have such an affinity for him is, like, you don't always find kids like that that have potential that's willing to work and to get it done mm-hmm. in such a short time.
That's true.
It's my first year with him. So pretty much in a 9-month time frame, the kid just took a tremendous jump and a tremendous step in his basketball career. So I think he's going to be one of those stories that we're going to hear about 3 years from now in March Madness on his journey. And I'm glad that I was a part of it and part of the process.
Coach Fisher, I'm not saying he's Charles Barkley, but I want to share this story. And you remember this. You're old enough to remember this like me. But remember when Charles Barkley was at Auburn, they called him the mound to rebound?
Yeah.
And he weighed 320 pounds. And he lost, I think Charles lost 60, 70 pounds by the time he was a sophomore at Auburn.
Yeah.
And look what he's done, man. He ended up being, what, 6'6", 270, and just the best 270 you've seen in the history of basketball. So, Chris, if you're hearing this show, which we're going to get you the show, man, give me a high five. Great hard work. I mean, like you said, a kid to lose 40 pounds over a summer before a season, that's unheard of. It really is. To continue on, you're another starter for you. I know this guy in football, and I didn't know he was this good in basketball, but Arthur Oliver, man, 5'11", 16 points a game, second-team all-district. He's a starting quarterback for the football team. Man, he plays some football. I know that. I watched him play football. But what do you think of Arthur as a basketball player?
Man, Arthur is great. I mean, when Arthur came on board, I think we went on either an 8 or 9 game winning streak. So that's how important he was to us when he came on board. The biggest thing for him was he was able to come in and be a backcourt mate with Malik and help share some of the burden. Because as time was going on, when everybody knew that Malik was our primary guy and our primary ball hunter, they started trapping him a lot. They started taking him out of the games and stuff like that. So when Arthur came, it really relieved a lot of pressure from Malik, and Arthur just came in blazing. And we have had conversations throughout the summer. He was itching to get in the gym, and I was like, Arthur, you got to wait to have football. Because he's just an athlete. He wants to compete in anything that he does. And so once he came on board, he was really important, and he just brought a different dynamic to us as well, where Malik was just able to focus on defending and scoring and leading from that aspect. Arthur was the guy that came in and made plays for his teammates and made things easier for his teammates. And he's just such a great athlete. He's a blur. It's like he's a blur on the football field. He's a blur on the basketball court. It's just very hard for defenders to stay in front of him. And he's a great shooter, too. So when he came along, you know, it just really propelled us to the next level where, you know, we was looked upon as being a very, very good team that was going to have to be contended with for the playoffs.
I want to say this to people listening, Coach, and you know this already being a coach and around sports your whole life like me, but if you play football, even if you don't become a basketball prospect, basketball helps football, right, Coach? It helps football. Man, you're vertical, the ability to stay in the best shape of your life, the conditioning, the mental part of that, of 60 minutes of just running up and down a full court, having that stamina to do that. But football, that's why Arthur looks so great on – not that he wouldn't look great on football without basketball, but basketball, you can tell. I always tell people, I can see when a guy runs track or plays basketball when they play football, that just they're at a different level.
Right.
Just a different level. Coach, you got one more guy I want to talk about. Well, two more, but he's a junior. By the way, Arthur's going to be a senior next year. Jeffrey Laundrie is 6'6". He's a junior forward for you, 16.8 points a game. Coach, what do you think of Jeffrey? He's only a junior, 6'6", got nice size on him. Had injuries, COVID twice, you said. Missed 12 games and still had a great year.
Yeah, he only played 15 games and still averaged 16-10.
Wow.
So the sky's the limit for him. I'm looking for him to lead us next year. You know, we already back in the gym, back in the weight room, and working on our individual skill set. Jeffrey is such an intriguing prospect because he's an inside-outside type of kid. He can handle the ball a little bit and shoot it and play in the perimeter as well as go in the post and play down there as well. So we're not going to have Chris next year, you know, the luxury of having a 6'9 kid, but we're going to look to play a little bit faster and do a lot of different things with Jeffrey in the lineup. But I'm just hoping and excited for him to play through a full season. Because he had a nagging knee injury that put him out a couple of games. Then he was quarantined twice. So it was just kind of a tough year for him his junior year, because if Jeffrey would have played the whole entire year, he probably would have been first or second team all district as well. Just because of the numbers he was putting up. And when he came back finally in the end, he helped us in our playoff push. But a few games I know for sure when he was out with Jeff, we probably would have been able to win as well. So, you know, this year for all coaches at the high school level all over the country was just tough dealing with COVID, because you never knew who you was going to have. The starting lineup changed weekly or daily sometimes. Sometimes you might not have enough kids in practice. So this was just a challenging year for everybody, unfortunately for Jeff. he got caught up in the circumstances, those type of things. But there's no doubt in my mind, if he would have had a full year, I probably would have had four kids that made all different district, because he would have been that important to us. And just what he did production-wise, you wouldn't have been able to deny it. Yep.
Coach, before we take a break, talk about another junior coming back, 6 foot tall, Trey Knighton. 7.9 points a game. He'll be back for you next year.
Yeah, Trey was great for me. Started pretty much 85% of our games. Another kid that haven't really played a whole lot of basketball. I saw a lot of potential in him this summer, and I felt like, you know, one thing about coaching, even though you know you have talent that's current, you always got to continue to develop and look for the future. So when I met Trey, I already knew that he was going to be my point guard of the future. And so I had to start getting him ready for when Malik was gone, to replace Malik and to have a backcourt made for Arthur. And then the great thing about having somebody like Arthur is that he brings immediate impact and production to the program. But I would say the onset of that is that, you know, because he played football, I'm not going to get him to December. Yeah. Probably the middle or the end of December if they go on a playoff run. So I knew then that I had to develop somebody that can run the show for me and hold things down until Arthur gets here, and that's Trey. So I'm looking forward to him making a big step next year. And right off the back, I got three returning starters that started to play major minutes, and one of them was second team all district. And again, if Jeff wouldn't have had some of the circumstances that happened to him, he would have been all district. So I feel like EJ Basketball is in a good place moving forward, being one of the power brokers in the state.
And I hope by this summer you got a 6'10 kid move in somehow from some other state.
Me too, brother. Me too.
Before we take a break, a couple of more notable things about East Jeff High School. 1971 graduate, the late Mike Molly, they won baseball titles at East Jeff in 1971, 1972, and 1978. And in 1994, Neil Reed played for Indiana basketball from East Jeff, 1994 graduate. You might not have known that, some people. I know Coach does. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the football program. And Coach has a son on the football team. We're going to brag a little bit about his son and a lot of those good players at East Jeff that Frank Alello coaches. A great guy, Frank Alello, the football head coach that coaches at East Jeff High School. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkine. Our guest today is Marcel Fisher, the head basketball coach at East Jefferson High School. In this segment, we're going to talk about the football team and his son. One more note about East Jeff's, thinking about football. They won their 2013 state championship, went 15-0 in football under Coach Salter Formaggio over Edna Carr. A lot of people don't remember East Jefferson beat Edna Carr in the state title game. Edna Carr don't lose state title games. And they beat them 38-28 in 2013 to bring the state, their first state championship to East Jefferson in football. Perfect 15-0 season. Also, Otis Smith played at East Jeff, played in the NFL. He's a current NFL assistant right now in the NFL, by the way, with the New England Patriots from East Jefferson High School. Coach, let's talk a little football. Your son has got a lot of ability, and Ahmad Fisher, who's 6'4", almost 6'5", a little over 200 pounds, has the frame to weigh 230 easily one day, maybe even 250 in a couple of years. What do you think of your son being a coach? And we talked about it, and then I've watched him play. I think he's very, very athletic. He just, you know, once he gets bigger and stronger naturally, once that weight comes on, like I told you, I think he could be a D1 player once he gains that 20 pounds of muscle. He's just so athletic. He hadn't hit his full spurt yet.
Yeah, I'm very proud of him. He's worked his tail off, three-year starter over there. You know, he trains a lot. He lifts weights and things like that. So I'm excited to see what this summer is going to bring and what is he going to do to train to take himself to the next level. I believe he led the team in tackles this year and in sacks. So I'm just looking forward, you know, forward to what he's going to do, what he's going to bring to the team. They're going to be stacked on the defensive side of the ball this year. So So I'm just really looking forward to him being one of the leaders. I believe he got voted to be team captain for the defensive side of the ball. So I'm just excited for him. And, you know, he's always been a great kid and a good kid. He gets it done academically. He currently has a 3.3 GPA, has an 18 on the ACT. He needs to retake that and get that score up. But I'm just very proud of the maturation that what he's doing. And I'm looking forward to, you know, watching all the games, because being that I was already following him anyway and making all his games and driving all over the state to see him play. But being up close and personal definitely is a great feeling, being a father, to, you know, to be up and close and personal with your son every day in the building and see his progress and things like that. But you heard it here first. I'm expecting EJ football to make a run in playoff next year, because I think they have all the intangibles, especially defensively, to make plays.
Yeah.
And I think over the last couple of years, they played great schedules and test themselves playing some of the better programs in the state. And they've been young. And so now I think they got balance on offense and defense where they can take the next step.
Yeah, and Frank Alello does a great job. I met Frank about 25 years ago in New Orleans. I think he was at Jesuit way back. And what a great guy, Frank Alello. And Coach, speaking of football, Arthur Oliver, you're a basketball guy. He's on your basketball team. He's one of the great athletes in football in New Orleans coming back. And then you look at Dornell Miles. Dornell Miles, I think, is a D2 or 1AA defensive tackle, 5'11", 250, good feet. You got Darren Mixon at receiver coming back, a really good athlete, 6 foot tall. Roderick Evans coming back at D-tackle. They picked up a transfer from John Curtis. This guy's super, Coach. Javian Talbot. Coach Alello was really high on him. As a linebacker, 6'2", 215, going to be a senior next year. Joseph Fricks at offensive line. And there's several other players. But like you said, I watched them on film. They've got about 30 Lettermen coming back and a lot of young guys coming in behind that. But, Coach, what about your son as a basketball player? What's your basketball thoughts on Ahmad?
I'm hoping that he comes out next year. And help me definitely from a size standpoint. I'm going to need his help on the boards, rebounding, blocking shots, and being active. I had another son that played basketball, so Ahmad really didn't take the basketball as quickly as my other son.
Okay.
But his energy level and his athleticism, you know, would definitely help us next year. And I'm looking forward, you know, again, as a father, the journey to coach my son. I had the ability to and was blessed to coach all of my sons at some point in time in their career. So I'm hoping I can finish off that tradition with him. And I think that would help him as well stay in shape and be more athletic. He normally plays football and run track, but next year I think he's going to, you know, want to finish off his career playing football and playing basketball for me.
That's funny, Coach. I was thinking just now, I said, you're probably going to be sitting in the living room watching March Madness so you can recruit him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have a great relationship. We do a lot of things together, whatever. So I'm just excited. And being that you mentioned also about Frank, I want to also say that I knew Frank for a while, too. I worked with him at Hansville. He was one of my other son's teachers. I also coached Salt. So me making the transition over to EJ was easy because I already knew the football coaches. And the first thing we talked about is just being in alignment with each other with each program and helping each other and sharing kids and helping to develop the EJ brand. And I think this year was a step forward in that because they made the playoffs the first time in a couple of years. I went back to the team basketball program, back to the playoffs. Believe soccer made a run in the playoffs. So, you know, we, like as you said, EJ had a lot of great athletes and a lot of great people come through there. You talked about Neil Reed. I'm looking at doing something for him and his family in the future and retiring his jersey. I believe that needs to be done.
All right.
I also believe, if you heard of a guy by the name of Michael Blunt, ever heard that name before?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a EJ alumni. A lot of people don't know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, DJ?
Yeah. Michael Blunt played at EJ. And then he went to Tulane, and then he was drafted to the NBA with the Lakers. So. Wow. I plan on, you know, doing some things for him and retiring his jersey. So, really, what I'm trying to do at EJ is help to reestablish the culture there that they had in the past and hopefully help produce the next line of great players to come out of there. And Frank is a major part of that. We work together all the time and talking about our philosophies and with kids and things like that. So, I think we have great things in store for EJ from an athletic standpoint and culture standpoint.
Coach, look, our final segment's going to be fun because you love basketball. I love basketball, too. Let's talk about the NCAA bracket and think. Let's talk about who the final four teams will possibly be. And if you're not looking at a bracket, I'll even cheat for you and give you a bunch of the teams in each area of the bracket. But let's have some fun when we come back and talk about it. At least my four teams haven't been beaten yet. Well, one team hasn't played yet, so that's LSU.
Right.
but we'll talk about it when we come back. We've got the head basketball coach from East Jefferson High School in New Orleans, Marshall Fisher. What a great guy from Syracuse, New York. I love New York. I worked in New York for a year when I was younger, building tennis courts, coach. Got a chance to take in that cold weather up north. And I tell people, look, when it's cold here, it's nothing. Nothing compared to New York or Pennsylvania or Ohio. Nothing. It's a lot colder over there. but we'll be right back. We're going to have more of Coach Marcel Fisher from East Jefferson High School. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. We've got more of Coach Marcel Fisher from East Jefferson High School basketball coach. Let's talk about the NCAA. When this show is heard, we're taping the show, so we'll be going on our second round of games by the time the show, because it's so quick turnaround with these games. But we did have the first round of games almost played. As we're taping the show, we actually have the Saturday games being played. Coach, I've got Gonzaga coming out of the West. I've got – and this is a homeboy pick here. I'm picking LSU out of the East. And then Baylor out of the South. And Illinois out of the Midwest. Those are my four to go to the Final Four. And then I have Gonzaga beating LSU pretty handily. I've got Baylor beating Illinois. And then I got Baylor, Gonzaga, and then I got Gonzaga winning it all.
That's a good those are some very good picks. I agree. I kinda agree with all of those. I think Michigan is gonna be a dark horse somewhere in there. And I also believe that I still like Kansas. Like, you can't go wrong with Bill Self, and also like Florida State. But I like three of those picks that you got, especially Baylor. I'm going to go for the home team, too. You got Jared Butler that played at Riverside High School. So, you know, good friends with his high school coach or whatever, and watched him come up through the ranks from AAU and just develop into the player that he is now. It's just phenomenal. What that kid has done in college or whatever. I'm very proud of him and happy for him.
You know, Illinois, coach, I've watched Illinois play a couple of times this year, and I've watched them over the years. They have had some down years, as you know. I think this is the best Illinois team in probably 30 years.
Yeah, it is. It is. Coach has done a good job there. I've known him for quite some time. Again, when you're an old guy like me, you've been around. when I was coaching junior college at Florida Hillsborough Community College, he was the head coach at Daytona Beach Community College. And he did a good job there. And then from there, I think he went to a team in the Southland, one of those Texas schools. I can't remember the offhand. The Lumberjacks. Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah.
So Brad is always been a hard-nosed, old-school coach, and he's one of the few coaches in the business that worked his way up from the bottom. So in my career, being around 25 years, I've had the ability and the honor to see and start off with a lot of guys who are, you know, the big dogs in the business right now. I started off with them, whether it was high school or junior college, and, you know, different turns in life happen that people end up in different situations.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of those guys I started off with in the business and just watched them blossom and take off into where they at now. So it's always very neat to remember that, hey, I shared a hot dog with this guy.
Right.
We was in the car driving to go see a kid somewhere, you know, those type of things. So, yeah, he's one of the guys that I knew for a long time, him and Frank Martin, people like that. You know, I watched them come, you know, and work their way from the bottom.
Coach, and, you know, I want to share this because people that listen, because I've shared a lot of stories being in it 30 years with football, and we're not bragging. We're just telling true stories, you know. And
right.
I was in the Waffle House with a couple of former NFL coaches over the years when they were college coaches. I mean, that wasn't a big deal back then, like you said, when they were maybe high school coaches and then they end up NBA coaches. And and you remember, like you said, you remember that situation where you might be working a camp and this guy is like a college young assistant. And now he's like a, I don't know, a general manager of a team, you know? So
Right.
But some people say, man, brag. No, it's not brag. It's just true stories, you know, true stories.
Yeah, true story.
And it's just, you know, we don't share all of them because it'll make you seem that way. Like, oh, man, Scott, no, it happened. This is real, you know. But guys in these sports move up. You know, some people move down and some move up. Coach, here's something interesting. I've got Missouri upsetting Oklahoma. And here's where I think it could – I think this is possible. Tell me if you agree. Missouri could upset Gonzaga in round two. It could happen.
Yes, they can. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Missouri is a great program, and they defend there. They just play so hard. Just unfortunately, we don't get a chance to see them all the time because, you know, LSU and, you know, dominates everything this way in the region.
Right.
But, yeah, Quanzo Martin is a great coach. A hard-nosed coach as well. Again, he's old school, and he definitely maximizes the talent that he gets there. Because if you look at his roster, he don't really get four or five-star kids and one and done. He gets guys, and he develops them and builds them up. And so because of that, those kids are loyal to him, and they just play so hard for him. So I can see that. I think the complexity of college basketball now, period, is just so much parity because, you know, you saw a few upsets yesterday, and I just think, like, if programs got older guys, they can pretty much play with anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you look at Baylor. Baylor's probably playing Villanova in the second round. That's going to be a great game.
Oh, yes. That's going to be another great hometown team. You got Jared Butler versus Caleb Daniels, who played at St. Aug. My son played at St. Aug with him and was his teammate for 3 years, so – looking forward to that. I watched that game last night. So
how about this game, Coach? This is a possibility. Georgetown, Florida State, maybe the next round.
Yeah, that's going to be a heavyweight bout right there.
Now here's another one because you're from this part of the country and you spent some time in Maryland. How about Maryland, Alabama? I got Maryland in my bracket upsetting Alabama, and people go, "You're crazy." I'm like, "No, Maryland's good. Maryland's good."
Maryland is very good. Maryland's very good. The guy that got Alabama did a great job turning that job around so quickly. I think this was only year two for him. That's what I'm going to be doing today once I get off this podcast. I'm going to be on the TV all day with some chicken wings and something to drink and some chips and dip, just watching all the games and just marveling at it. So,
Coach, you know what I did?
Yes.
I went and got all my groceries yesterday. Because I don't want to go anywhere. Pizza, chips, salsa, I got everything at the house. I'm ready to go. When it hits 11 o'clock, it's on, Coach. I'm going to watch games till what, midnight tonight, West Coast? Well, it's in Indiana, but it'll probably go to 11 tonight. But here's another intriguing game. This is why I don't have Kansas going to the Final Four. I have USC upsetting Kansas. And I'm taking it USC is going to beat Wichita State, and I'm taking it that Kansas will beat Eastern Washington. But what a great game that'll be, USC-Kansas.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to really see USC play this year. I'm a big Bill Self fan, and as you know, I had a 6'9 kid, so Kansas is notoriously known for running high-low sets for their big. So I did a lot of that this year to help Chris and Jeff out early in the year, a lot of high-low action, so definitely a Bill Self fan, but not sure about USC. Didn't get a chance to see them play at all, but being a Syracuse fan, they have a former Syracuse player on staff there. That's one of their assistant coaches, Jason Hart, who was a tremendous point guard for us back in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
We'll see. But like you, once I get off this podcast, I'm hurrying up to the store and I'm going to get all my stuff, and I'm going to be ODing in front of the TV all day myself.
One guy to look for, Coach, for USC is Mobley. He's a freshman, 7'1", 230 pounds, can shoot the three, can drive. Friend of mine, Chris Wallace, who's a scout for the Memphis Grizzlies, was the general manager. He said that Mobley is one of the top, maybe top three or four for the NBA, you know, overall, because he put the ball on the floor, he can drive, he can shoot threes. He's got a great game, and he's going to be about 250. They remind him, speaking of Kansas, of the guy with the Philadelphia 76ers. Who's the big guy there now?
I know you're talking about. Yeah, I can't think of it off my name. One of the stars, six kid that played with Ben Simmons. Yep.
Yeah, he was a great one for Bill Self at Kansas. But this guy's up there, and then Mobley's brother's 6'11", coming off the bench.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm going to be loving today's games. When people hear the show, we're already going to be going to the next round because the show will play on Wednesday, but we're taping it over the weekend so we can get it in before the games. But, Coach, I was really happy to have you on today and being a basketball coach. We want to bring more basketball coaches on and promote your son, Ahmad, who's going to be a really good football player. I'm really happy for Frank Alello, your program, Frank's program. And I think we covered a lot of stuff with East Jefferson High School. Anything else you want to mention before we go to the fans out there or anybody with East Jeff or just basketball fans or football fans?
Yeah, just look for great things from East Jeff next year. And then I got a quick story. We were talking about how things happened. 2003, the Final Four was here in New Orleans. At the time, I was an assistant coach at Binghamton University. That also was when Syracuse University with Carmelo Anthony won a national championship. So I'm here in New Orleans, and Shaka Smart, before he's a Shaka Smart that everybody know that's been at Texas and VCU, he was a grad assistant. He had no place to stay. Wow. He was a friend of a friend of mine, and he stayed in my hotel room the whole time.
He had no place. Had nothing.
Had no place to stay. Was a grad assistant at the time. Wow. Now, Shaka Smart is one of the top 20 best coaches in the game right now. So, just wanted to say, like, you just never know what twists and turns like will have, because if you'd have told me in 2003 that I'd be living in New Orleans and I've been here 10 years already, I would have told you to shut your mouth. but whatever the gods and the universe, whatever made my way down here, and I just want to share that story that you just never know where things are going to go, and that my 25 years in coaching basketball, even though I'm not a pro and even though I'm not an NBA coach, that the brown ball has led me all over the country. And I'm definitely happy to be here, and I consider myself a resident here, and this is my second home, and I'm looking forward for great things. And with my son as well, he's getting some interest from some low D1s, some D2s, some JUCOs. So I'm looking forward to sharing the journey with him going into his senior year, and I'm just grateful for everything.
And Ahmad Fisher is going to be in our football preview magazine, like I told you, this summer, this late August. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com. He'll be in the issue as an outside linebacker, DN. A buck guy that can end up being he's a pass rusher. He can defend the run. He can get sacks. Very unique player. Very long, very, very fast and quick, and is going to do nothing but get bigger. I think he can weigh 250 in a couple of years and be solid without even looking big, like look lean.
Right, right.
And so that's why I think that buck linebacker position is a spot where he can really flourish in football, because they're looking for guys almost 6'5", that can carry 250 really good. Coach, keep doing a great job. One final thing. The good thing about living in Louisiana, and especially New Orleans, is that you're eating some really good foods, right, Coach, compared to
– Yeah, yeah. Eating a little too much good food, but, hey, what you going to do about it?
Yeah, the Cajun food that we have in the state, I'm sure you like it, right, since you've been here?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to get me some boiled seafood, like I said, as soon as I get off the phone and sit down and watch the game.
Don't hang up yet. We're going to end the show. We'll see everybody soon. Again, be sure to go to LAFootballMagazine.com. Go listen to other podcasts that we've done. And speaking of Shaka Smart, Will Wade coached under him, and Will Wade, LSU's basketball coach, learned from Coach Smart. A coach mentioned that story about Smart needing a hotel room. He didn't have any money or anything as a grad assistant back in the day. We'll see you next.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.